So I had thought through, it's interesting with the liturgy after Easter, you cover all of the stories of Jesus risen from the dead and the first appearances to the apostles, and then you kind of shift in the liturgy to talk about how we partake of that. So we get into topics of the Holy Spirit, baptism, and later on we'll get into the Eucharist, but today's gospel obviously referring to the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus about being born again. So I had a nice homily prepared for you guys about, like, just, you know, the ways of baptism, how everyone is called to be baptized, God wants everyone to be baptized, how if you're not baptized, are you going to hell? No, but, and then I read St. Fulgentius, and he just put the whole liturgy of today together, so he kind of chumped me, but we'll come back to baptism later, I'm sure. But let me just share with you, because he did put the first reading together, that unity in the bond of the Spirit, that communion of the church as the body of Christ through baptism, through that sharing in the one Spirit of God, what that looks like. By the way, when's the last time you sold your house and gave the proceeds to the church, right? We don't see that lately. And I don't recommend that you do it tomorrow, but I do think we've fallen a long way as far as our total dependence on God and on each other. And the beautiful communion that was there in the early Christian community. In our modern times and our modern human securities have kind of trumped. Our human insurance, don't get me started, has trumped our dependence on God and each other. But the Holy Spirit was the source of so much in the early church, and they depended on the gift of communion that he brought about. So, St. Fulgentius, who was like very early, 200s or 400s, I forget. And so we pray that by the same grace which made the church Christ's body, all the members of the church may remain firm in the unity of that body through the abiding link which joins them. We do right to pray that this may come about in us by the gift of the Spirit, the one Spirit of the Father and the Son. That is why Scripture says that the love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given us. How do you live the way the early church lived? How do you live in that total trust in God? Is it possible for man? No, you do it through the Holy Spirit. How do you love the way Christ loved? By your own efforts? No, through the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit, the one Spirit of the Father and the Son, produces the same effect in those to whom he has granted the grace of adoption, divine adoption, as he also produced among those who, in the Acts of the Apostles, can be seen to have received that same Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who makes this happen in us today, as it was in the early church. Concerning those in the Acts of the Apostles, it says that the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and soul. How much division is in our church today? We're divided over so many issues. Issues of whatever, like politics, immigration, divided over issues of life, divided over issues of how to celebrate the liturgy in English or Latin or whatever else, issues of what's more important, the Eucharist or loving your neighbor, issues of, I don't know, lots of division today. You love Pope Francis, you hate Pope Francis. And the church is so divided. And the multitude of those early believers were of one heart and soul, for the one Spirit of the Father and the Son, who is one God with the Father and the Son, had created a single heart and soul in the multitude of those who believed in God. This is why St. Paul says, in the words of advice to the Ephesians, that this spiritual communion in the bond of peace should be eagerly preserved. We have to fight for it, work for it. St. Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. Do I see myself as a prisoner for the Lord? Do I do what I want or what he wants? I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, and yes, he was in chains because of his faith, beg you, Christians of Luling, Holy Family, to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all the humility and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the communion of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. We're not many churches, the church of so-and-so, the church of so-and-so, the church of here, the church of there. We are one church. For while God preserves in the church his love, which is poured out through the Holy Spirit, he makes the church a sacrifice pleasing to himself. How do you maintain the unity? Is it easy? No, it's hard. It takes sacrifice. It takes work. Denying my pride. So that she may always be able to receive the grace of spiritual love. And so continuously offer herself, yourself and myself, offer ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice which wins God's favor. So we do pray for a deeper communion in the church, a deeper unity of the church, a healing of so many divisions that persist right now in the church, that she would be one. See, Jesus, our Lord, at the Last Supper prayed, Father, that they may be one, as we are one, you and me and I and you, through the Holy Spirit, that they may be one in us. May we heal those divisions, and may we be the protagonist for the Holy Spirit, the instruments for the Holy Spirit to bring about this renewed communion in our faith today. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.